Thank you, Dave. I'm coming to you by telephone tonight through Dave. Tonight's lesson is a true teaching from Yeshua, as Charles says, Yeshua ben Joseph. I don't expect many to like it. Myself, I just, when I first got it, I put it on the shelf for about 8 years before I was ready to deal with it. Rather than praise and applause tonight for this reading, I expect objection and rejection. And if that doesn't happen, you probably haven't been listening. As in all the messages from Spirit, those who have ears will hear, and those who don't will hear later. So I would invite you to just open your mind and heart and listen for the telltale signals of the truth within you. Don't accept anything that your internal teacher does not endorse. As my friend and mentor, Dr. Lee Krause, used to say all the time, plant you now and you can dig it later. So without further ado, introduction. In the transition from religion to spirituality, there is a shift in epistemology or focus from reverence of the sacred book, the text, and external instructions, a shift to the very personal inner experience. One becomes increasingly aware of that personal guide called the Holy Spirit, internal teacher, or simply Jesus. No longer a slave to the text or the external preachment, one is guided by a deep internal sense of truth and validity. I experienced this profound internal confirmation early on when I first read the words of Yeshua recorded by Brent Haskell in Journey Beyond Words. The words were true for me a priori, that is, without further need for confirmation or testing. Later, in The Other Voice, again I heard the unmistakable ring of truth and validity. Brent received the following message in late 1999. I found it to be confusing and difficult to integrate with the body of truths I had been slowly accumulating. That is still largely the case for me. I have not yet resolved the seeming conflict between the absolute freedom of God's child that Yeshua teaches in Journey Beyond Words, and the seeming rigid determinism of the script is written that this lesson teaches. I acknowledge my very limited human understanding. I have ultimate faith that Yeshua would only teach me truly. Yet I have not yet grown to encompass this larger truth and can only remain open to the new insights that might make that possible. I can only share with you my puzzlement and my suspicion that I don't yet understand time. We'll begin now. Yeshua, the script is written. Greetings to you this day. I am Yeshua, and I have come, as always, to discuss with you A Course in Miracles. You have been struggling, as it were, for some time about some words which I have placed in A Course in Miracles. And those words are these. In the workbook, the first section, page 158, the script is written. What I have told you with these words is that for everything that seems to happen here, it has already been done. The time when each of you shall come to understand the truth of who you are is set. It is in the script. It is just as if it has been placed at a certain frame on the film that you play out, that you call your life. And only when you arrive at that frame and that moment, that seeming moment in your time, will you truly understand. And I have said to you that time only seems to go in one direction. Time only seems to go in one direction. And all of this can present such a dilemma for you, can it not? Here in your earthly life, what can you do? I have told you that always when you come to the point in time when you understand, when you come to your moment of awakening, you will realize in that same moment the truth that there was nothing I needed to do. But your question for today goes even beyond that. For indeed, is there anything that you can do at all? If you are impatient to know the peace of God, can you, in your time, speed up the process? Can you be diligent and make the moment come sooner in your time? Does the time of your study, the time of your contemplation, the time of your simply being silent, does any of that make any difference at all? Of course, you will simply one day awaken and say, "Ah, I see." Now, I have told you, have I not, so many times, that this world never happened. And I have told you that this world is but illusion. It is not real. And did you know one of the aspects of reality itself? Reality is imbued with creative power. That which is real is of God. You are of God because you, the reality of what you are real. But this world, tis not real. And what does that include? That includes your bodies. They are not real. That includes the aspects you see of time, space, the skies and the heavens, the earth about you, the flowers and the trees. None of it is real. It is but a figment of imagination, if you will. And this is part of what I have told you, but is so difficult for you. The thoughts you think, are not real. The thoughts of which you are aware are not real thoughts. And that means this, as I've told you. The thoughts you think, the thoughts of the brain, if you will, the thoughts of space and time, are not real. And as such, hear me well, they have no creative power. So can you, of your thinking, of your planning, of your struggling, of your doing things here, change anything? Do anything at all? And the answer must be no. The answer must be no. This is the fundamental struggle that you, insofar as you believe yourself to be your ego, this is the fundamental struggle that you must deal with. And I've spoken to you and called it the authority problem. As ego, as a conscious thinking being here, who seems to have life and seems to have choice, and would seem to perhaps have power associated with your choices. Is there anything you can do? And the answer is no. Consider for a moment, what if that were not so? What if you, in your conscious thinking, could in fact change your mind and see your life or your world change, then that would demand that your thinking, the thoughts of this world, had creative power. Suppose that you could, with your body, do acts, do things that would change your world. That would mean that bodies had within them creative power. And that would mean that the thoughts of consciousness, the body itself, would be of God. That which has creative power must be of God itself. Just as you, in your reality, have creative power and are God. The next section is called, How Can I Make a Difference? So how do you deal with this issue? If I tell you, as I truly am telling you, that nothing that you do in your life makes any difference at all, and one of your great passions, one of your great concerns in being loving and pursuing the spiritual path for most of you, for so many of you, is that you say, I want to make a difference. I want, when my life is over, to be able to stand tall and say, I made a difference. I changed my world. And do you know what that is? Truly, that is but the voice of the ego crying out not to die. Ask yourself this. If this world is not real, if it is but illusion, if it has no effect of any kind in all of eternity, then why would it matter whether your life here makes a difference? That too is but illusion. So if you would be a student of A Course in Miracles, if you would be a teacher of A Course in Miracles, if you would be the writer of books, the sharer of wisdom through lectures or speaking engagements or workshops, does any of that matter? And the answer truly is, it does not. Such harsh words, are they not? For have I not just told you that all of your struggling, everything you would do to seek to accomplish good in your life, matters not at all? Do you recall that I said in A Course in Miracles, your only goal is to accept the atonement for yourself? And do you recall the words I spoke in A Course in Miracles? That experience cannot be given directly. The only thing you have to offer is the vision of Christ, the vision of the Holy Spirit. And vision itself, hear me well, has no power to change. Vision is but the experience that you have within yourself when you, in a moment, see this world differently. When you forgive this world. And that, as I have told you, is your only function, to forgive this world, to forgive yourself, to forgive your brother, to forgive me, and to forgive God itself. Have you heard these words at the core of your being? You forgive through vision. You forgive not through action, not through doing, not through trying, above all, not through studying and struggling and dialoguing, if you will. So what does that mean? What it means is, you must hear these words I speak this day, and these words which you will find in A Course in Miracles as you look for them. It means that you must take these words and experience them. For if you do not, or until you do, you will not know the peace of God. Hear me well. So, if your life matters not, did I say that? Did I say your life matters not? Or did I say that there is nothing you can do to change anything? There is a difference. There truly is nothing you can do to bring about sooner the moment of your awakening. And if you feel that you are awakened already and wish to give the gift to your brothers and sisters, there is nothing you can do whatsoever to hasten the moment of their awakening as well. The script is written. The time is set. Time seems to flow in one direction. What does that mean? You believe in cause and effect, and you believe in cause and effect being separate. That ultimately is the belief in your time. For you believe that an action, a thought, a word, a deed, now, will result in change. The word will speaks of the future, do you hear? You believe that a word, an action, a thought, now, can affect what you see as the future. And it is absolutely not so. I've told you that every single moment of your time is totally independent of every other moment of your time. That is what it means to say that cause and effect are not separate. In the absence of time, the Son of God imagines whatever he will, and in that instant it is done. There cannot be delay. Delay is but illusion. And so all of your struggling to become is but your desire to worship time and to hallow what you would call the future, the result. And it is the grandest delusion of the ego to believe that what you call the future is the result of the past. And if it is, then you can further delude yourself into believing that what you did in one moment affected the next. And thus you believe that you have creative power. The nature of God, the fact that time itself does not exist, makes it impossible that such could be the case. In this moment, you either know the peace of God or you do not. And the next moment is the same. The next is the same. The next is the same. The next is the same. And creative spirit, which sits at the core of your being, always knows the peace of God. Did you, mind, cease creating for a moment to make up a world of illusion? Hear me well. To create is to be. And to cease to create would be to cease to be. Mind never sleeps. It is creating every moment, that I have told you. And what is it that mind creates? Nothing but love. For that is all there is. This world, I tell you, and this fact lies at the core of your forgiveness. This world, Every aspect of it is love being expressed. And in your forgiveness, when you awaken, in your moment of awakening, you will know that to be true. And that shall be the forgiveness that you seek. And in your forgiveness, you shall find the peace of God. Can you, from within the framework of the ego, from within consciousness, can you rationalize? Can you discuss and discover? Can you debate and find? Can you figure out how it is that this world is nothing but love? Hear me well. Absolutely not. It is the framework of this world which imprisons you. It is that framework which you use to form that which you call ego, that which you believe yourself to be, but which you are not. From within the domain of the ego, you cannot discover, you cannot find vision, the vision of the Holy Spirit, the vision of your one self, the vision of Christ, the vision of God. They are all the same. How then can you find the peace of God? Do you remember that I have told you, you have but one choice in this world? To which voice shall you listen? One choice. To which voice shall you choose to listen? I have told you that there is nothing you can do to hasten the moment of yours or your brother's awakening. Your only goal is to forgive. Your only goal is to accept the atonement for yourself, which is exactly the same thing. There truly is nothing you can do. For if it were not so, this world would be imbued with creative power and would be real. And that which you pretend to see would be God itself. And the universe would be a place of fear and horror. And it is not so. Hear me well. How do you choose to listen to the voice of God? How do you choose to hear the Holy Spirit? For when you do make that choice, then what will fill your awareness is the vision of Christ. For truly then, your one self, the Holy Spirit, I, God itself, were he to choose to look upon this world, would see with vision and would see nothing but love. How do you choose to do that? There is but one way. For the choice you have of which voice to which you shall listen is not really a choice at all. So even in the sense of choosing which voice you shall hear, there is still nothing you can do. Hear me well, for this I have told you before. The Holy Spirit, the voice of God, the bringer of the vision of Christ, speaks with the quietest of whispers you could ever imagine. The truth is this, my brothers. You hear the voice of God in your silence. The only choice you have is the choice to be still, to cease the workings of your conscious mind. For when you do not think, you are free of the busyness of this world. You are no longer burning with a passion to dialogue or debate or study or think or to use your thoughts to become. When you are free of that, Then in your silence there comes a whisper, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as you sit in your silence for more than a moment, then there will come exactly this, a vision. And arising out of your silence, you will be given a new world. But nothing will have changed at all. You will be given a new world because as you look upon your world and experience this world here, beyond the domain of the ego, you will come face to face with the vision of Christ. And everything you see will be the love of God. And everything you experience will be the love of God. And what will you do in your life? You will celebrate, for the fullness of the awareness of that love will make it impossible for you not to do so. Hear me well this day. That is the measure of your forgiveness. As you look upon your world, do you see nothing but love? As you look upon your world, do you see nothing but love in action? As you look upon your world, are you filled with joy and wonder at it all? And as you look upon your world, are you filled with a total peace that desires to change nothing? For why would anyone desire to change the perfect love of God? Do you see? Then what do you do in your life if all of your doing matters not? And this I have told you as well. How do you know if you are happy? Do you contemplate and debate, or do you simply know at the core of your being? How do you know if you are filled with love? Do you debate the meaning of love? Do you define love and write books about love? Or do you simply experience that which it is? And experience, as I have told you, is beyond thought, is beyond your thinking mind, is beyond the domain of the ego. So what can you do then? You simply experience your life. If you would do that, you do not plan one moment in the future, but simply experience your life. And do you remember those words? I spoke them even 2,000 years ago, and yet again and again, so many times and places, and yet again in A Course in Miracles. If you would simply experience your life, what will you do? And the answer is so extremely simple that you perhaps have never heard it. If you would simply experience your life, you will follow the path of your own joy. Do you think I was joking when I said God's will for you is perfect happiness? And when I gave you the affirmation of God's peace and joy are mine? Not at all. What if your joy does not lead you to study A Course in Miracles? What should you do? Follow the path of your own joy. What if your joy does not lead you to writing books and going to workshops or seminars or dialoguing with your brethren about the nature of truth? What should you do? You should follow the pathway of your own joy. I promise you, if you are not following the pathway of your joy, you are nowhere near at all the discovery of the peace of God. Can you speed up your time? No, indeed. Can Can you be joyful in your life? Yes, you can. What happens if you truly become silent and open your being and open your heart, if you will, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to my presence, to the voice of God? What happens if you do that? Time itself collapses. I've told you that as well. Miracles collapse time. Those are not new words to you, are they? The only place that time can collapse is in your silence. The only activities that can possibly bring you to the point of time collapsing are those that bring you joy. And what is the measure of your joy? I have told you this also many times. If you believe you are experiencing joy, then ask yourself, can anything of this world threaten my joy? And if the answer is yes, then it is not the joy of God. It is still the ego clamoring and crying out to be heard and trying to convince someone somewhere that it exists, which of course it does not. In the moment of your silence, in the moment of your joy, in the moment of the collapse of time, then all of time becomes the same instant. Do you hear? And in that instant of the forever of your time, as it collapses into a single moment, the time of your awakening is there. And I have I not, called that moment the holy instant, the moment of the miracle. And that is exactly what it is. The moment of the miracle, the moment in which time collapses. But remember, you cannot make it happen. You cannot figure it out. You cannot dialogue and discover what it is. You can never, ever, ever give it as an experience to someone else. The only thing you can do is enter into your own silence, wherein you listen and are still, and wherein you hear the voice of God, and wherein you gain the vision of Christ, and wherein you see a new world, not a world that has been changed, but the same world seen anew. And in that moment, you will no longer see a world of illusion. Illusion will pass away, including the illusion of time. And in the moment of forever, you shall awaken. And in your awakening, you will have within you the vision of Christ. Can you force it upon your brothers? No, indeed. But as you hold that vision, then it is present for anyone and everyone throughout all of space and time, past, present, and future, to experience and to celebrate. And in your own moment of experiencing that vision, truly, as I have told you, your silence and the joy to be found therein make you, without effort, the savior of the world. And your life, moment upon moment, shall become blessed in ways beyond what you can comprehend, even though the moments of your space and time have changed not one iota. blessings upon you all. That is all. Dr. Haskell has published two prior books of messages from Yeshua, including The Journey Beyond Words and The Other Voice. These books are published by DeVores in Marina Del Rey, California. This message from Yeshua was received near the end of 1999 by Dr. Haskell and was typeset and duplicated by LoveWork Studio, P.O. Box 61233, Durham, North Carolina, 27715. Copies of this are available. They're $5 postpaid. The address is P.O. Box 61233, Durham, NC, 27715. And you can address Dr. Haskell at J&B Books, Post Office Box 857 in Canyon City, Colorado, 81215. Email can be addressed to jbwords@piopc.net. And that's how you can reach him and reach me. And would love to hear folks' comments about this. So I'm going to not be on the mic tonight, obviously. I'm going to be at the keyboard, so we'll see what kind of a discussion we get. Okay, thanks.
I know there's a lot of questions out here, Kelly. I have a question. When you first share this with me, one of the things you said is that you felt that this work may be one of the reasons why Brent Haskell has not written anything further and maybe hasn't attended conferences and things like that. And after reading it, I could certainly understand why that could be seen as something that may have had an influence on his writing any more books or attending conferences, because it very clearly does state that you can't really change anyone's experience. It all is written and it will happen perfectly in time, and there's nothing that we can really do. Do you want to comment on that, please? Thanks.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I posed exactly that question to Dr. Haskell just about a week ago. And he didn't answer that directly. He just kind of laughed and says, well, yeah, I guess you could interpret it that way. I suspect that line of thinking does have some credibility and some influence on his seeming reluctance to become an active leader in the Course community. I think he sees it as being not his function. So I don't know. I can't speak for Brent, but I think the script is written says very clearly that the script is written also does leave the door open for seeking your joy. If it truly is your joy and your pleasure to sing and to share with the Course in Miracles and to tell people what you've found there and what you have learned about how to live effectively and successfully, I think it doesn't proscribe that at all. It just says don't undertake it as being the salvation of the world, because that's not our function. Our function is our salvation of ourselves and accepting the atonement for ourselves. And beyond that, we should stay with our joy. And if that makes you joyful, that's great. It says if it makes you joyful not to study A Course in Miracles, that's great. That's what you should do. And so in that way, the freedom of this Son of God is preserved, because in the Journey Beyond Words, there's a lot of material there that makes it very clear that another word for the love of God is freedom. in that anything that you truly love, you would have it free and unrestrained and unbound. So, and that is exactly where we are. That's where God gives us. He does not even require us to be faithful or diligent or pious or any of that. That we do share God's existence, that we are God. Anyway, I'm off into Kelly's interpretation now, so I'll stop.
Okay, thank you so much for your sharing on that. As you were sharing, I know, first of all, some people right here probably have questions, which we'll ask you to raise your hand, maybe print it out in the room. What I had noticed in the reading, certain salient points that came out for me is, first of all, as you say, love is freedom. We are free spirits, and one of the central messages was follow your bliss. That if you're not in joy, maybe you miss the point when it says God's purpose for you is your happiness. So if you're doing anything that is not doing that, you're doing something to oppose your own will. I mean, so first of all, it's in our joy that we are going to find the peace of God and following our bliss. And certainly following our bliss has nothing to do with doing A Course in Miracles. Of course, but the Course has said that over and over. This is just a pointer. It is not the experience that we're pointing you to. The experience is something that you can have. The other central theme that I picked up on was it happens in silence. There's nothing I need to do that exactly. In fact, as we entered the room, we heard Linda Carpenter say, if you can just visualize this very deep body of water, very silent, where there's no ripples whatsoever, and the peace of God. And then all of a sudden, a ripple from a wind or a breeze comes on the top of the surface. You can get caught up in that ripple. And that's what Jesus, Yeshua, is telling us, to return to that deep silence. That is where your peace of God resides. That's where you are. That's where the love of God is. That's where the joy is. And that's an experience. You cannot give that experience to another person. That's why Jesus says, please do not ask me to do this for you. I cannot do this for you. You are cause. This is a course in cause and not effect. I truly, truly thank you so much, Kelly Love, for your willingness to make this available to all of us. Certainly, I have received so much from it. Okay, Lenny, the mic is all yours.
Yeah, well, what I'm getting from this, Kelly and David and the rest, is that it's taking us out of the world of perception. The world that we're always trying to look at to see when the miracles are going to happen. Well, if the scripts have already been written, let's get our attention out of the perceptual world and into the reality, into the awareness of singularity, into the awareness of love with no opposite, and get our attention off that perceptual world, the out there that doesn't exist, the world that doesn't exist. And it came through very powerful. I didn't know how. I think I read that article about 3 years ago, and I didn't agree with it. And now I could see why it's so powerful. Wow.
Okay. So I'm kind of, if Kelly, if you're listening to this, I think you are in the room. I'm going to probably hang up the phone here. And we can do everything right here within the room at this point. Okay.